Welcome to the Kim and Kyle podcast, where we give realtors and entrepreneurs the mindset, strategies, and skills that you need to build the business and life you want. Every week, we're bringing you guests or ideas to help you market your business for the year we live in.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Kim has been feeling a little bit under the weather. So today we're going to bring you an episode that we recorded a few months ago talking about how clients spend money on services and products that they don't utilize to their full potential, and also a little bit about how to make your social media profitable so that you can stop spending so much money on internet leads. Hope you enjoy the episode. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Tonight, we're going to talk about the top three things that entrepreneurs want from their social media. Also, a little bit about us. We own a company called Terry Enterprise.
We do cool shit.
And we do cool shit.
No, but seriously, we are a marketing and advertising company, I guess you could say. Kyle started out in real estate photography. We've expanded, and now we do a lot of social media management and business strategizing for people.
That was weird. Lots of planning.
So that's kind of where we are and what our business encompasses.
Kim spent at this almost point. An hour sending one email earlier today.
Here's the thing. When you send a text message or you send an email, how you think that things are going to be portrayed and how you think you're coming across is like nice and easygoing and stuff like that. Whoever's on the other end reading that is reading it in a totally different mindset than you're sending it.
They're reading it in the mindset of whatever mood they're in at that moment whenever they click open.
Shoot, reading stuff, text messages and emails, I feel like it's very hard to decipher the mood between, and you got to be very careful how you say things or you can really piss some people off.
Yep.
There's always issues with clients, whatever business you're in. And sometimes it's better to let them go. Sometimes it's better to try and hold on to them. That's what business you're in, where you're at, what you're trying to do. But we have a client at the moment who's on the fence if they're going to keep working with us. If not, it's not necessarily us, but they're not doing their part to get the most value and benefit out of what we're providing them. And they wanted kind of
So let's just do a whole background thing. We're not going to say who the client is or anything. So client hired us to create content for them instead of paying the full price to let us create the content and put it out on social media for them, because they wanted their assistant or admin or whatever to put the content out into the ethers, which is awesome. That would be literally the perfect scenario. Kind of perfect scenario would be us plan it out. They create their own content and put it out. But they wanted us to create it and not do the planning or any of that stuff. And they wanted to just for us to take pictures and video. Cool.
Well, things didn't get put out.
Things didn't get put out.
Which is naturally just what happens.
Yeah, 20 posts in 70 something days.
We kind of know this is we struggle with it too. Consistency on social media. It's freaking hard to post every day.
Yeah.
So we went out and we took over the account for a period of time.
Yeah,
we did. And we showed them what posting consistently can do. We had
for free, by the way.
For free. Yeah. We had very good growth on the account over that time period where we were posting. There was a lot of engagement. Everything was doing well. Turned it back over, but when we turned it back over, we went ahead and laid out the next like 30 pictures with, hey, talk about this topic with this picture.
Yep.
So it was pretty much all they had to do was go in 5 minutes in the morning, write a quick sentence or two on the topic that we talked about and hit publish on the picture, and it just didn't ever happen.
Yep. And a lot of things that are one of the major things that people drop the ball on, especially in the real estate world, is they pay for leads, whether it be Zillow or some other company pulling in leads, and they follow up with those leads. But they don't realize that on social media, if you're paying someone to do your social media for you, you are paying for leads, and it's your job to follow up and do the sales on those leads. When someone comments on your post or likes your post or becomes a new follower, you follow up with that person and say, hey, thanks for following me. Thanks for the comment, blah, blah, blah. You have a script just like you do with any other lead that comes in. And this particular client is getting ready to, she was spending money with us next month. I canceled her automatic renewal for next month already. And then she's going to flip that and put it on to Zillow leads. Well, I know someone who's spending $20,000 a month on Zillow leads. So what is her $1,200 or $1,500 going to do compared to the person that's spending 20 grand? I'm just going to guess that she's probably not going to get as many leads. And she has to follow up with those leads, which they don't follow up with the leads that they get from social media. So
here's that's where it comes down to. When people jump into social media, typically you've used social media for pleasure.
Right.
Like you post pictures of your kids, you post pictures of what you're eating, you post selfies, you post whatever the heck you want. You don't really have to think about it. But the moment you decide that you're going to use social media to grow your business, and it's going to be a business tool, all of a sudden, there's a huge disconnect.
Yeah, they think the calls are just going to start rolling in.
So, and it's everybody. Even the big companies out there, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, they aren't using social media to their advantage yet. And it's the thing that, A, it's not taken very seriously, but the people who do take it seriously see huge benefits right. from it. B, it's hard. It's a lot harder than paying money to a company that's going to just send you a bunch of phone numbers to call, and you're going to sit down for 2 hours and call these phone numbers and nobody's going to answer.
And it's only hard because they make it hard. You literally have, you can send messages to the people that you follow and even it's the people hard. That you don't follow. I mean,
even on our account, it's hard to post and be consistent every single day.
But the follow-up's not that hard.
No. So there's just a disconnect. And so with this group, there was that disconnect as they thought that they could handle it. There was miscommunication between the team. There was miscommunication between us and the team. And essentially the content we created and the plan that we put, they didn't really know how to put into action.
Right.
Which is totally understandable. But when you're running a business and you're paying money, like you want immediate results. And so when they don't know how to put that into place and how to get those immediate results, that's where the disconnect comes in. So boss of this company wants to sit down with social media, quote unquote, manager of their team who's never had any training in social media management and kind of have a field day of why haven't you done this? It's been laid out for you. So yes, I took an hour, probably more, to write an email because I wanted it to be very neutral. I wanted it to be very positive. I didn't want to place the blame on their social media manager. I didn't want to place a blame on their boss, and I didn't want to place the blame on us. I wanted to come at it from all sides and make it very understandable that here's the amount of work that needs to go in. Here's what our contract said that we would provide. Here's what we've done. Here's how we've gone above and beyond our contract. And here's where not necessarily you all have failed, but here's where you can take what we're giving you and how you actually need to implement it and how it's going to require this much work. It's not just a, at the end of the day, hit the checkbox that it's been done. It takes work from every single person in that company.
Yep. Otherwise, something else will drop because everybody doesn't know
everything. I think that's a perfect entry into kind of what we want to talk about today is we want to talk about,
We want to talk about the three things that entrepreneurs want.
I wouldn't say three. We just want to say.
Or anything.
We're talking about creating posts that your dream customers or just your ideal clients are going to love. And how do you do that on social media? So there's really essentially, like Kyle said, three reasons that entrepreneurs use social media, right?
Right, right.
So are those?
They want to get more business. Mm-hmm. They want to get a different type of client, and they want more freedom.
So when we break that down a little bit, don't mean to interrupt you, but
no, you're good.
Run with this a little bit.
Run with it.
So if you're new to social media and you're just starting to use social media for your business, your main goal is like, I literally just want to get on social media. I want to be consistent and I want it to provide me some business. I want to turn some of these people who are following me into real life paying customers. So that's number one, why people jump on social media is they want to get new business. Number two.
Well, let's talk a little bit about get more business. What by get more business, and I view it as even the older generation who had not necessarily newspapers, because you're not going to get a lot of referrals from something like that that you can get a direct response from. But get more business means you need to ask for referrals, just like you're asking your database for referrals right now. Whenever you meet Sally at church on Sundays, you say something to her and say hi, and then she'll give you some business if she knows somebody that's like thinking about selling their house. Hey, Tom, I think Bill down the road has been talking about selling his house. I know they were having a yard sale the other day, blah, 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 blah. Well, you just have to have Sally and Tom or Bill or whoever on your social media and ask for the referral, just like it is being social, except instead of being social on Sundays at church, you can be social with these people every day of the week.
Yeah. We're going to get a little off track, I can tell. But getting on social media, you all, like Kyle said, the idea is you're on social media, you need to be social. This is like a party where you can literally interact and talk and have conversations every single day with people that may end up being your clients.
Yeah.
So that's how you need to view it, is this is your billboard that you can interact with. So you can send mailers, you can put your billboard up and people can see it and they don't really know what to do with it. Now they can come back and start commenting and liking, and you can reach out to them and start a conversation.
Yeah. And I wrote down in my notes earlier, whenever we were thinking about what we were going to talk about, that a lot of people want the one to many instead of the one to one. But social media, which would be like your billboard or your newspaper ad or your radio ad, which you put out one ad and it goes out to many people. And your one to one is a conversation with somebody. Well, social media is a one to many where you can bring it full circle back to one to one, because you put a post out to a bunch of people. And if someone reacts to that post, then that's when it opens the door for the one-to-one. Mm-hmm. Somebody driving past your billboard is a one-to-many, but that person's not going to react to that except for saying, huh, Joe looks good on that billboard, or whoever. You know what I'm saying?
Shoot, I don't look up at billboards because I'm looking at my phone.
Exactly. If they're driving by and not looking at their phone, that's what they would say. But there's no way for you to reach out with it to that person. So it brings it kind of full circle. So each one of these things, I just kind of want to dive into a little bit. But the what about the different types of clients? What do you got?
The different types of clients is, I feel like, all right, now you've been on social media a little bit, you've seen if you've done it correctly and you've followed a good plan that you can turn your followers into clients. But now you want to land that dream luxury client, like the person that you always dreamed you'd get to work with. And so kind of when you're in the middle of this and you've gotten followers to turn into clients, now you start thinking, well, how can I use this? Here's my clients here and I love them, but I want clients who are going to pay me this much. And it's like twofold or threefold or fourfold of what you're currently at. And so then you start thinking about social media in a way of, how can I change what I'm putting out there and how can I change what I'm doing to attract these higher end clients or whatever your dream client entails.
Yeah. Or just whoever the dream client is. Because you can be really specific on the type of client that you put your post out to. Whenever you like, so back to billboards or newspaper ads, I guess on newspapers, you're putting your ad out to people who still read the newspaper.
My mom.
But billboards. Yeah, exactly.
Love you, Mom.
Yeah. Maybe the retirement community.
She's not retired.
Close. But billboards, you don't have a target market except for the people that drive down that road. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have a billboard on Winchester Road.
I always say the best way to use a billboard is to
take a picture of it and put it on social media.
And then you make it into a game on social media or a giveaway or something like that, where people start taking pictures of your billboard and get it out to all their people and tag you in it on social media.
Yep, for
sure.
That's
a story for another day, though.
Yeah, we've got a story around that.
So anything else to say about just changing who your target?
Well, and not even necessarily being a different client, just a more specified. Yeah.
Which is what we're going to get into later. We kind of got into yesterday and we're kind of going to get into probably every day in the future, because it's the most important thing.
Yeah. You need a target market. I think yesterday you said, well, what, I don't just want Sally as my client. Well, Sally turns into Billy and Joe and Sue and whoever, because they have friends.
All the cool people.
Yeah.
All right.
Not that those are cool names.
Then the last thing is that you want freedom. You want to go back to just like why you got into this in the first place. Is you grind for so long and you started for a reason. And I think when you get to a point, you want to go back to that creativity and that energy and the motivation that you had in the very beginning. And so once people get through using social media and turning their followers into clients, then they start attracting these dream customers that they've always had. And then they're like, now I just want to get back to like being creative and having fun and having this freedom that I originally became an entrepreneur or this type of business person to have
right
in the beginning.
So talk about that a little bit more.
So give me a question here. Help me out.
Well, so my thing was, I said something about in my notes here that with more freedom, my thought on it was not necessarily taking it back to your dream job or why you got it into the job and all that stuff. It was more like I've got more freedom because it takes me 20 minutes to put out a post or a half hour to put out a post. And I viewed it as digital door knocking. So instead of going door to door, knocking on, how related, a lot of our clients are realtors. So I relate it back to real estate a lot. So you can go to an entire, you can go to a subdivision and knock on every single door in the subdivision. And that would probably take you 2 weeks if it was a bigger size subdivision. 8 hours a day, 5-6 days a week, knocking on doors. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, nobody's going to be there. But you don't see people complaining when nobody answers the door.
But they're like me.
You know, you got the one person that answers the fucking door. And, or, and like you, even if you're there, you're not going to answer the door.
Do you ever feel like as soon as someone knocks or rings the doorbell, it's like I saw a meme about it. You got to all of a sudden drop everything you're doing and be as quiet as possible so they don't know you're home. And exactly. It's such an inconvenience.
Exactly. So I view it as digital door knocking. If you're knocking on 200 doors for every post and one person comments, that's a legit lead for a referral or something. Yeah. And people don't understand that. They think that if they knock on 15 doors in one day and one person answers, whenever they're actually can see them in person, and then the person's like, no, I don't want to do anything, get out of my face, they're cool with that. If they're the 50-year-old man that's been doing door knocking for the last 25 years, and that's awesome in my business, and I get see all these results in it, well, why don't you try doing a little digital door knocking and spend 30 minutes making a post to 200 or 300 people and then put a little bit of money behind it?
So I think that's what goes back to what I'm talking about with freedom and why you got started, is it's saving you time, right?
Right.
And that's
right.
What we
the 80-20 is what I used to.
What we all go after is time. Like time is essential in life. That's what we all want more of. So going back to that freedom of most people start being an entrepreneur or running their own business or whatever role they're in with the idea that they're going to have this freedom of being able to create their own schedule and have all this time and be able to work from wherever they want and do all this stuff.
And work with all the clients that they want to work with and blah, blah, blah.
And so I think people get to the point on social media where it started to work for them and they're getting clients and they're transitioning and they're now getting not just any clients, but they're getting their dream clients. And then they're getting back into this where they're realizing that that freedom of time and energy and all that stuff that they wanted when they first got into business, they can use social media to get that, just like you're saying, because right. They can reach so many people in such a less amount of time and effort.
Right, right. So whenever I first started in sales in 2011 or 12, at the end of every conversation that I had to ask for referrals, I would use this sentence that said, ma'am, sir, right now I'm spending 80% of my time trying to get new clients and only 20% of my time actually helping clients. A few referrals would help me be able to spend 80% of my time actually helping clients and 20% working on getting new business. Don't you think that would be more beneficial to the world or to my business? Mm-hmm. And they would be like, oh, yeah, for sure, blah, 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 you know, trying to get you some stuff. Well, don't you think that spending 20% of the time actually doing some marketing and sales via social media, because you can reach such a larger audience, even if it's a very targeted, niche down audience, and actually spend 80% of the time helping the people that you want to help.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, but in order to do that, and in order to do everything that we've talked about,
it has to be planned.
It's got to be planned, but you have to change what you're doing, because what got you here to this point in your business is not going to get you to the next step, to where you want to be. Is something has to change, and you have to embrace change, because change is either going to be pushed on you by an outside force or something that you didn't see coming, or you can choose it. And every day change is happening, and every time that change happens, it's moving you, it's inspiring you, it's pushing you forward, or it's taking you back. It's just all in how you embrace it and how you see it. So you got to decide, are you going to embrace it and invite in this new mindset shift, or are you going to completely just like have it thrust upon you and you've got to freak out and figure it out as you go?
Yep. And back to that neighborhood, if you don't embrace the change, then Joe up the street that's 23 years old is going to put out an ad to all 250 houses every day for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take you 30 days to knock on every door. And then you're going to start back at the beginning.
Or call them. Like, who answers their phone anymore?
Exactly. But they're on Instagram and Facebook. And if Joe runs his ad every day to everyone in the neighborhood, every single day,
you all,
they're going to see him and they're going to know who he is. And they're not going to know who you are because you're knocking on the door whenever they're at work.
If you don't take anything else away from this podcast and the link that we ever put out this podcast, is you need to take this away. Change is progress. And you might think that you don't understand social media and you're 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, whatever. And so it's too late. You can't learn social media because you didn't grow up with it. I'm going to tell you right now, my grandpa is 86 years old and he is on Instagram every single day commenting and interacting with people and taking selfies and all the stuff. So we always like to say, you weren't born knowing how to drive a car, but I bet you know how to drive a car now because you took the effort to make that change, make that progress, and learn that skill.
Yeah, and everybody around you could drive a car for the first 17 years or 16 years of your life. Yep. Driving cars was 16 years before you could even drive it or were allowed to.
And you got to make change. You got to
figure out how to do it.
You have to progress. And right now, social media is the way to progress. And if you don't jump on this now, you are going to miss the boat. In 5 years from now, you're going to be kicking yourself in the ass because you're going to be out of business and wishing that you had jumped on the social media boat back in the day when the youngsters were.
A lot of it is it's being overcomplicated. You have to turn it into what you're currently doing. Like, that's the reason why I always try to relate it back to door knocking or picking up the phone and cold calling people. And that way it makes it a little bit easier to understand. You're like, oh, that's like knocking on every door in the neighborhood every single day, not one door after the other, after the other, after the other. And it taking me 30 days to hit every door. I'm going to hit every door every single day, all day long. And as soon as somebody opens their phone, they're going to see me and they're going to know who I am. So that helps it relate it back to the older generation that's not, or the maybe just non-understanding generation that's not on there. So, they are on these apps and they're looking at them. So
something that happened when we first started this business is we created an Instagram account for it because that's just what was right. We
have our personal stuff, but
we wanted to create a new Instagram for this. And I get on there every single day and I know who our dream or our ideal clients are. And I followed them all. And literally, I like their stuff. I comment on their stuff. I'd send DMs. And you all, the amount of people that know in the beginning, like, just knew who we are, even though they didn't know us, and they would comment on other people's stuff about us, or they'd come up to us if we'd see them out in public and introduce themselves because they're like, oh my gosh, you all are everywhere on social media. And you're so great and you're doing all this stuff. And like, literally, I would spend 25 minutes every single morning and maybe 10 or 15 at night just commenting and liking our ideal client's stuff. And that's really what set the difference in where our business got started.
Yeah. And people, I'm in a business networking international, a BNI group. And a lady last week said, oh yeah, I hear about you all the time. I see you all over social media. And we're on there once a day for like 25 minutes.
Yeah, and y'all, our goal is not like a million followers. Like, we don't have that big of a following, but that's not the point. The point is getting your ideal clients to follow you and being in front of them and showing up every single day in their feed and commenting and talking to them, because those are the, like, you're going to get farther with 100 super engaged followers that turn into clients than you are with 10 million people that are just bots who are just scrolling
right
past your stuff and not engaging. So don't worry about the follower account. Don't worry about how many likes you're getting. Don't worry about how many comments. Just start showing up and showing up to the people that you need to show up to. And they're going to notice, even if they aren't stopping on your stuff and liking and commenting everything. So that's the cat.
What is that?
Our cat's cat behind us. She's got a hairball. Poor God. Baby. Get it out, Mika.
And like Kim said, the following amount is a huge thing. They...
Oh, God. This is why I hear all the time people who like, oh, we start our podcast and we had to record in the car because of our animals.
Yeah.
This is why.
This is live action here. We don't worry about that. The following amount doesn't matter. We are literally, what is the old saying? Beating a dead horse. We're probably going to talk about this stuff a lot over and over, because this is what we do with every single day when we're talking to clients. They're like, well, how many clients am I going to get? Or how many, what's the return on this investment? Or how many followers do I need? And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how many people can you talk to in one day?
Yep.
That's how many followers you need. How many people do you know? Give me a list of the people that you know. And you need to stay in front of those people and be top of mind with those people every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where your referrals come from.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. So the way that you can make this change and make social media work for you is to create content for your customers.
Right.
So you need to differentiate yourself. We're all in a saturated market. Yeah, like
what makes you special?
So there's a million people who do what you do. So what makes you different, and how can you provide value to these people? So this is when we say you need to know who is your customer. You need to be so nitpicky on who that person is so you can provide value to them. You need to know, you need to sit down, you need to take the time to figure out who the heck you're marketing to.
Yeah.
And you all, I'm telling you, you got to give this person a name. You got to give them an age. You got to give them a profession. How many kids do they have? All that stuff. So you know how to write content that that person's going to relate to.
That's right.
Because that's what's going to differentiate you.
One of the best realtors, we don't do their social media stuff, but one of them I know who actually does a really good job at this, their target market, they live in a neighborhood that has 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, or 3 bedrooms, 2.5 bath, every single house in the neighborhood. Their target market is the person with the income that lives in that neighborhood. They only sell in that neighborhood. That's all they market to. They deliver flowers for people for their birthday. They know everybody in the neighborhood. They have the ability to knock on every door in the neighborhood because there's not a ton of houses. But if a house goes up for sale in that neighborhood, it's got their sign in the yard. That's their target market. They know who that person is. And one more touch for everyone. I would almost guarantee that everyone in the neighborhood has a social media page, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. But Kim's doing weird stuff over here. That's who their target is.
So yeah, you got to get down to the dirt on who this person is. You should have a document on your computer that says every single thing this person's about. Like, where do they hang out? Where do they work? Where do they go for vacation? All this type of stuff, because that's going to help you talk to them and figure out what kind of content is this person going to want to see and what are they going to relate to.
Right. But what you asked a second ago was like, what makes you different than everybody else? Like, how do you come up with that information? What questions can someone ask that makes them, yeah, give me that question mark face. Maybe that's what we need to touch on tomorrow. We can come up with some stuff, figure out.
Yeah, because that's like, there's a lot of stuff that makes you different than everybody else is. Like, you got to deep dive into why you're doing what you're doing, who you're doing it for, all this. You got to, it's, you got to deep dive. You got to reach into your heart and pull out all the strings. And
maybe, maybe tomorrow on our podcast, we can explain why we do what we do, who our target market is kind of, or maybe, I don't know. And think what makes us different in the industry.
I think we can deep
why
dive.
Why we do what we do. I don't know.
We could totally deep dive into that. I think to keep it simple and what we're going on right now, what we've been talking about, the number one way to differentiate yourself is to figure out who that client is you're talking to. Because if Kyle and I are both personal trainers, golly, we're not going after the same client. Like, I'm going to go after women who are 20 to 30 years old, who, you know, have been fit in the past, grew up doing sports and all this stuff. And you're going to not go after that same group, I'm assuming.
No, definitely not.
So that's like, we could have the same degree. We could have the same certifications. We could have trained at the same places. We could do all the same things. And we could put out the same content. But how we talk in that content and who we put it out to is completely different. And that right there is the number one way that's going to differentiate you in such a saturated field. Yep. Because people are connected. Men, I'm assuming, in personal training are going to connect to you better than they're going to connect to me.
I would probably be working out with a little old ladies.
Maybe. That's probably true. But I think just talking to your ideal client right then and there is differentiating you, because how you talk to someone who relates to you is so different than the person next to you. And that's what's going to make people work with you, is they got to know, they got to like, they got to trust you, and they got to find a reason for that.
So for tomorrow's podcast, be thinking about this. Who am I? What do I do? And what am I about? So guys, thanks for listening. It's been 31 minutes. We've been chatting with you, shooting
the
shit.
Still have half a page of notes. You don't want to go over all that?
And we didn't even talk about what we did today.
And we didn't.
Let's end it with talking about what we did today.
About all the stuff I want to talk about.
And we can talk about that stuff tomorrow. Yeah. What'd you do today, Kim?
So today was Father's Day.
That's right.
So today is Sunday, and it is Father's Day, and we had such a lovely day. We had a nice and easy start to our morning, got some work done, drank some coffee. Then Kyle's family came over. We cooked out for them.
About 3 hours faster than they were supposed to, because my nephew lost his first baseball game.
That stinks. So they came over. We had a little cookout. Yeah. And during the cookout, my family, who lives in upstate New York, my brother and sister-in-law were finding out, I don't know if they knew or not, they were hosting a gender reveal party. So we FaceTimed into that and found out that they are in fact having a little boy. So we have another boy. We have our first
fair
boy
kid
coming to the family in November. So we're super excited about that. Congratulations
to Brent and Ruth.
Brent and Ruth, I'm excited.
If you guys are listening.
I got to go shopping now. All the boy stuff.
Yep.
So that's what we did today. And then we finished up after we cooked out. We went to the gym, got a solid workout in, came home, worked, and here we are.
And we made the drink of the night. Was made in our Castle and Key distillery cups, but we made our own margaritas without margarita mix. We used some
homemade margaritas. They were freaking good.
They were really good. We used lime juice, Splenda. I think the entire recipe was fresh squeezed lime juice, which we've got like this Kroger brand of, Splenda, water, orange concentrate, and tequila.
I don't know, you made it. If you guys don't know us in person, anybody who knows us in person knows that we're obsessed with Mexican food and margaritas. So if you don't know us, you'll find that out pretty soon.
And guess what? Margarita mix never works, but tonight freaking good.
And we are not, and by any means, any part Mexican or Hispanic. And I wish that I was like 100% of that heritage, because I love everything about it.
Yeah.
In my heart, I am. And I'm going to go with it.
In the Mexican restaurant. Who knows?
Thank you for listening to the Kim and Kyle podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode. If you want to grow your business, follow us on social media. And if you want to have a good day, go pet a dog.